Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Here on a wild card weekend, a good set of games for Saturday, and now we move to the Sunday games. Bruce, what was your favorite games for yesterday?
You know, they were both so good. I mean, when you got two games that we saw the second largest comeback in the history of the NFL.
Pretty crazy.
And it was in a playoff game. And it was also in a game where, you know, I was begging a lot because I had Indianapolis pick yesterday in the National Handicappers Bowl. I had given Indianapolis to a lot of people yesterday.
Yeah, you gave it to me.
And they're all screaming at me. Before halftime, when it was 38-10, it was like, I'm going bowling, or let me know what the final is. Should I call you back tomorrow? And I went, look, you know, this guy in 2 years has more comeback victories than 98% of the starting quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and he's only in his second year in the league. Andrew Luck seems to do better when he's down.
Looking like a good number one overall pick.
Yeah, right? He's looking a hell of a lot better than Robert Griffin III right now.
Just a little bit.
And it's not really Robert Griffin III, but listen, you know, to give Jim Irsay, let's give props where they belong. Jim Irsay, a lot of people don't like Jim Irsay. Well, all Jim Irsay did this week was make sure they weren't going to have a blackout. That was a joke. You know, they were talking blackout just trying to get real cash dollars in, you know, to the ticket office so that the teams and the league wouldn't look bad. Well, when it got to Saturday, you know, late Friday, early Saturday, there was, you know, Irsay comes out on Friday, Roy, and says, what is all this talk about a blackout? Well, yeah. He had just guaranteed one of his sponsors that if he bought the last 1,500 tickets, and I'm these aren't exact figures I'm giving you, but it was somewhere in that range.
Right, yeah.
That you want, look at me, he's paying for them. Or not only that, they've just traded for 1,500 ticket worth dollars on next year's marketing situation.
Yeah. Chad Ochocinco,
that's advertising, or they won't have to pay for.
Or Chad Johnson, whichever one you want to call him. He was talking about doing a similar thing in Cincinnati, having to buy out tickets to prevent a lockout.
Yeah, he said, but that's BS, see, because nobody's going to let that happen. Now, I will say this. The two ownership groups are totally different. The Browns are cheap as hell, and they're historically pieces of crap. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy Irsay is a pretty good dude. He ain't Bob Irsay. He's not his father, thank God, because his dad packed up a freaking Mayflower van in the middle of the night in Owings Mills, Maryland, and moved
the Colts
to Baltimore,
Colts
to Indianapolis. Yeah, exactly. And you know, not to speak bad of the dead, and I don't even know if his dad's dead, but I think he is. Hey, today's Chuck.
He's dead, yeah.
Do you know what today is? Chuck Knoll has four.
I think so.
Four Super Bowl rings. Chuck Knoll does.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Knoll, it's his birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
And I want to thank Merrill Hodge for letting me know, because, you know, when you talk about some of the best NFL coaches in history, Chuck Knoll gets overlooked for a couple reasons. Number one, it's because it happened a long time ago. You know, this happened in the 70s when I was your age. And I, you know, it was to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers play football was like watching an artwork. You know, Lynn Swann made the Hall of Fame. I don't even know. I don't even think he had 500 lifetime catches. He probably did. But my point is he didn't have that many. He just had four Super Bowl rings. You know, Stallworth was a better receiver than him. Stallworth came out of a small college somewhere, small black school, and did great, was an all-pro every year. Their middle linebacker, Jack Lambert, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I love giving Pittsburgh kudos because they're close to your fun hometown.
They love Pittsburgh. They love the Steelers where I live.
Yeah, how can you not love the Steelers? There's blue collars it gets. They're called the Steelers. Listen, one of the and a lot of great football players and coaches come. That's where Saban's from. That's where all these guys are from.
Saban's from West Virginia.
Well, originally,
yeah.
But he coached originally in Western Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. He was a Mountaineer actually too. The only reason why I know that is because I went there. Obviously, and everybody brings it up.
West Virginia, Bobby Bowden was coached there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bobby Bowden got a ton of his wins there. Should have gotten a few more because they stole a few from him recently. But
yeah, it did take a couple of hits from him and Joe Pa.
You know, a lot of people are going to be calling it. Hey, listen, today's a great day to call in because we're gonna break down the games from yesterday,
mm-hmm.
the NFL games.
Good
we're going to break down the college games of this week. You know, doesn't it seem like I'm just not as excited about the bowl games the way
I wasn't at all.
Well, why would you be? Because, first of all, they spread them out. There's hardly any on New Year's anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, until they get an eight-team.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Eight-team.
I agree completely.
Playoff, I don't care who wins because I don't care. You know, if they didn't have bowl games, look at me. Mm-hmm. I could care less.
If you think about
it. I really could care less. Could
The four-team system that
they're
going to
do. Have you been to a West Virginia bowl game?
I have. I've been to a couple.
But I mean, is it the biggest part of your year?
No. I mean, they were fun. Like, I went to the Sugar Bowl
It's a fundraiser.
When we beat Georgia. That was a big one. And then I went to, I think it was the Gator Bowl, I think is what it was. And I went to the Sweet 16, I thought, was much better than the bowl series, but I mean it's hard to beat college basketball. It's hard to beat March Madness.
There's nothing. Listen,
and the reason why is because every team has a shot. If you look at this year, the plus four or the system that they're doing next year, the plus one, the 4-team playoff, mm-hmm. essentially, mm-hmm. Alabama would be in.
Oh,
I don't think there was a single person who would argue that.
And listen, look,
and they lost.
But look how Saban mm-hmm. is usually in the big game.
Right.
He looked like he could care less.
He could have had a shot at the game this year if some things had gone his way. Even after the Auburn run.
I'm glad it's Auburn because I think Auburn's going to upset Florida State.
I hope Auburn loses.
I hope Auburn beats them by 20 points because I don't like the quarterback at Florida State.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't. I don't like him. I don't like, Jimbo, he's fine.
Jimbo Fisher,
I like Jimbo. Jimbo's fine. I just don't like the smell of that. I also like the way Auburn got to the game. They beat some phenomenal teams. They lost to Georgia.
Crazy game.
But they beat up everybody else.
Well, they had the long bomb again in the Georgia game was crazy ending. If you have that play alone in your season, then
I remember you talking about that. That was a great game.
Crazy
too.
Game.
And listen, Mark Richt may not be around next year. Mm-hmm. They've been talking about firing Mark Richt forever. If you're not going to fire him now,
producing, man.
Why wouldn't you fire him now? Didn't he just get beat again? They lost this week. Yeah, they did.
Let me see.
Pretty sure they got beat.
Yeah, they're right.
They don't beat people anymore.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Division I AA team.
They lost to Nebraska.
Oh, and Nebraska was an underdog in that
game. Yeah, unranked.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Nebraska did a great job in that game.
The SEC, though, this year, I mean,
they just don't look.
They looked everybody at the beginning of the season. Everyone was saying, "Oh, well, Alabama. They're playing on a different level." And I bought into the Alabama a little bit. But if you look at the SEC in bowl games, they haven't been very impressive.
Not this year.
Johnny Manziel had to pull magic out of his hat to beat Duke.
You know what they're proving, in my opinion. The Pac-12 is so underrated. And one of the reasons the Pac-12 is so highly underrated, Roy,
mm-hmm.
is because we don't see their games. We're asleep.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay up till 2? Well, you will, but I don't stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching football on Saturday night. I got to get up early Sunday to get ready for the show mm-hmm. and do all that stuff. A lot of people could get up early, go to church. A lot of people have sports with their kids on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million things you do besides watch like WAC and Pac-12 ball. Let me tell you, there was something that came out last week. We talked about on the show last week. There are more Pac-12 players in the NFL than there are any other conference. Any other conference. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall with Roy Edwards and Matthew Lynch. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen, as the final BCS championship game is coming. And it will be tomorrow night.
Yeah, I already got my... Listen, this is a no-brainer for me. Auburn's been in, what, nine games that came down to the last quarter against some very, very good opponents.
Pretty much all season they were...
Yeah, yeah. And Florida State played pretty much... Who did they not play that was in... That lousy conference.
In the ACC?
Besides the ACC. I mean, their ACC schedule wasn't very tough.
It wasn't that tough, no.
No, what was their closest game? Clemson, they destroyed.
Let me look that up. Yeah, they beat up on Clemson.
And you know what? Clemson, to their benefit, this week looked really good. I mean,
yeah. Not bad, huh?
Well, you know why? They prepared for it. And they also have a lot of guys that may be coming out this year. And that had a lot to do with it, too. And they also have a coach, I think, that's he's still under contract, but he's trying to redo his deal there. And they're going to get better. I got an interesting message on Twitter from a good friend of mine, Ed Greising, who's one of the smartest people I know. But he was when we start talking about this Green Bay game here in a little while. This was a tweet that a former San Francisco player sent out, and it basically just trashes the Green Bay people. You know, the Appleton, Wisconsin people. That, you know. And he said some pretty nasty words that Ed's too nice of a guy and too good of a Catholic to ever say the same words, even on my direct messages. But we're going to talk about that in a little while. We're going to talk about, you know, how many people really can say this that they've even been there. You know, as big of a football fan as I am, on my bucket list is to go to Lambeau Field. Now, I'll never see Lambeau the way it used to be because they built that stadium up, and they do it right. You know why? There ain't no damn Dan Snyders that own the Green Bay Packers. There are
But if they do, then they're just one of the people.
Well, Dan Snyder can own one share of stock.
Right.
And I bet he does. I bet he bought one from somebody.
He probably
tripled a guy's money just to say he was a stockholder in Green Bay.
Yeah, I almost did.
And that's exactly what this Washington area, which they'll never be able to do because Snyder will never agree to it. I'll tell you who would agree to that eventually is the NFL. And I'll tell you why. The NFL is getting tired of Dan Snyder. Listen, it was a complete soap opera piece of crap just 1 minute after the next for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, ever since they benched Robert Griffin III. Well, you know, who cares? You know, that's probably the best. There have been so many NFL analysts and other people, too, that have said that's the biggest favor that Mike Shanahan did to the entire organization was sitting him down for the last three games.
Is there a more hated NFL owner than Dan Snyder?
No.
Jerry Jones,
Jerry's not hated by his people. The
Cowboy fans hate
Jerry. They don't hate him like Dan Snyder. Let me tell you something.
I mean, he's more dumb than...
Buddy, look at FedEx Field and then go walk into the spaceship.
I'm not...
I mean, he's giving them stuff that you just dream about from a standpoint of... Top of the line stuff.
People hate Jerry Jones because he wants to control everything.
Well,
people hate Dan Snyder because he rips them off and sues them.
More importantly, Jerry Jones gave them a Super Bowl. That's what it comes down to.
Well,
everybody with a new stadium gets a Super Bowl. That's why New York has a Super Bowl.
I'm talking about winning Super Bowls.
Except the Redskins.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones gave him one of his best friends in college at the University of Arkansas. His name was Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. Jimmy Johnson gave the Cowboy fans three Super Bowls.
Jerry Jones owned it while they were in the Super Bowl.
Jerry Jones was in a pissing contest with Jimmy Johnson every day the last 4 years of their existence. And I'll tell you why. He was jealous of him. And you know what? He would never fire Jimmy. Jimmy quit. Jimmy just couldn't take it anymore. Jimmy hated it so bad that he has not coached but 1 year at Miami since. Or 2 years at Miami. It was only 2 years he was in Miami.
And then after that whole fiasco happened, that's when Jerry Jones took over the GM role shortly after.
Yeah, he didn't want a GM.
And they're like 8-8. historically, they average an 8-8 record since then.
Jimmy Johnson left the Cowboys in such great shape. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl the next year. Barry Switzer is Barry Switzer is an okay college coach if you can recruit the best players in the country.
Those are Jimmy's guys.
They're all Jimmy's guys, and they were Jimmy's guys for a couple of years while they were breaking
records. He did
it
in Miami too.
Yeah,
when he was at the U, he turned. Miami was not a very good program.
There was a time when no one wanted to go to Miami. You couldn't even park your car without double locking the doors, and you had to be very careful. That's a South Miami campus.
It's not a very nice place.
No, it's not. And you know, that's,
I mean, it is now.
Well, that's where the whatchamajiggers play. The Miami Heat play in that area too. And the problem with that area in downtown South Miami is there's a lot of crime there. There was a woman's golfer that they took a ring off her finger and crushed her ring finger, and she was not able to play golf for 3 years.
My God.
I mean, she had like 10 operations on her hand because someone wanted the diamond on her hand. Well, you know. Somebody should have.
Where was Don Johnson when that happened?
Where was Don Johnson when that happened? You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's good to be back. I'll tell you what, I left super early this morning to get out here to the studio because we have freezing rain.
It's ridiculous.
Well, let me just tell you, they told us last night that from 6 a.m. on, there would be rain that was probably freezing to the pavement. Well, that's, when you got a show that starts at 10 and you got a 45-minute drive with no traffic, you figure, what I'm going to do? I'm going to beat the rain. So I did. As soon as I got up here, it started raining. And I told Matthew, coming to the studio, I said, be careful out on the sidewalk because it's a sheet of ice. I just can't wait to get on 95 South. Of course, I'll be behind the salt trucks and doing all that coming home. But I should be able to get home by 1 o'clock to see these games. We got some games. We got some games that we're going to be watching today. They're going to be great games. I don't know what's going to happen in Cincinnati. You would think Cincinnati with an 8-0 record, four straight games where they've scored over 40 points. Mm-hmm. I think their average differential on games at home is like 20 points.
They haven't won a playoff game since 93.
Since that bowl game. No, they haven't won a playoff game since 91. That or 92.
It's 90.
That was the coldest game in NFL history.
They beat the Houston Oilers.
Yeah, that was the coldest game in NFL history.
And the Chiefs hadn't. So then the Chiefs haven't won still since 93.
No, it wasn't the Houston Oilers.
They both beat the Oilers.
I read three papers this morning. Listen to what I'm telling you.
They both beat the Oilers.
It was against San Diego. They beat San Diego. And they're guess who they're playing today?
San Diego.
Yeah. And San Diego, Dan Fouts showed up, and he was so impressed that Ken Anderson could throw a spiral that's all he talked about for a week after they got the crap kicked out of him 24-7. It wasn't even a good game. I don't see that happening today because this San Diego team could have easily been 11-5. They had the Redskins beat. All they had to do was run three quarterback sneaks at the end of the game. They win the game. No, they throw three passes incomplete. What were they thinking about? And there were two other games they should have won, too. I think it's going to be closer than 7 points, but I still think Cincinnati wins the game. I just think it's not going to be a runaway.
Yeah.
So, the San Diego Chargers, Phillip Rivers is having the best overall year he's ever had. Mike McCoy may be the best thing that ever happened to Phillip Rivers. Of course, after Norv Turner, who, by the way, must have pictures of he must know where all the bones are buried. I mean, if this was the Kennedy assassination, Norv Turner would have been on the grassy knoll with a rifle in his hand because he keeps getting jobs and people keep saying the most wonderful things about him. I watched the man for 7 years here in D.C. He was horrible. I mean, didn't he get old to you? He did not have
everybody gets old to me here in D.C.
Well,
every coach.
We haven't had a Marty Schottenheimer. Would have probably almost still been coaching if we'd have had a decent.
They went 8-8 that year.
Yeah, they did, and they would have gotten better.
He just had a football life. By the way, Cincinnati, it was Houston Oilers. It was Boomer Esiason beat the Houston Oilers. But the
last game?
The last game, 93.
Okay, so, well, it was San Diego that played them.
There's been
in even a colder game.
And they must have beat them. Chargers must have beat them.
No, they got beat 24-7.
Well, maybe that's the last time that those two teams played, but the last time that the Cincinnati won a playoff game the Houston Oilers.
Okay, so then that one must have been before them.
And there's been 15 starting quarterbacks since then, and they name all of them. So that didn't exist. Oh, 91. So 91 was the last year that they won a So it was 93 for the Chiefs since they've won a playoff game, and 90-91 season since the Bengals have won a playoff game. They both beat the Houston Oilers.
Well, first of all, we talked about the Chiefs game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs game, in my opinion, was without a doubt the most exciting game I saw all year.
Is it more that the Colts won that game, or is it more so that Kansas City lost that
game?
Well,
you know what? One of the reasons that Philadelphia came back at the end of regulation in the second game mm-hmm. yesterday is because they knocked out that corner that was covering, what's his name, the wide receiver number 10 for Philadelphia?
DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. He literally took him completely out of the game for almost three quarters. Mm-hmm. He goes down in the third quarter. And all of a sudden,
they threw it at him twice right away.
Yeah, and he caught that real long pass. Yeah. And he returned a punt like 25, 30 mm-hmm. yards, set him up. They scored too quickly.
Both drives that, late. When
they should have never thrown into the end zone with 5 minutes left. I thought what they should have done was take their time getting down. Because they were, if you remember, they were down six. Mm-hmm.
Well, they went deep, and then they went for it on fourth.
Yeah, but
That was the drive where the corner got hurt.
No, I'm talking about the end of the game, Roy. I'm talking about towards mm-hmm. the end of the game when they were down six and took the lead.
Yeah.
They threw a ball that was a pass interference call, mm-hmm. like 50-yard pass. Yeah, I would not have done that with 5 minutes left in the game because now you got to give the ball back to Drew Brees. And all he needs to do is kick a field goal.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you, look at me, why wouldn't you hand the ball off to Shady McCoy? Why wouldn't short passes? Why wouldn't you take your time getting down there? That's the big problem with Chip Kelly's offense. They're they can score points in a hurry. Problem is, you got to manage the clock, too.
Yeah.
And remember who you're playing. Now, listen, they rushed for over 160 yards. New Orleans did. Here's what happened in yesterday's game, and if you watch it, New Orleans had to win that game, they had to take the running game away from Philly. They did, basically.
80 yards Philadelphia rushed for.
I know, total.
To the Saints, 185.
Exactly.
That's flipped. Well, you know, yeah, on any other game, that's flipped.
But do you know why that happened? First of all, New Orleans has a better defense overall. But listen, the Philly defense is a rebuilt defense, and they're doing a good job. Philadelphia took Drew Brees out of the game for a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't throwing the ball deep at all. He was throwing the biggest
Plus
play of the game.
Like, what, 4 degrees?
Biggest play of the game was the crossing pattern on 4th and 11 or 3rd and 11, where they would have punted the ball and they hit that guy coming across the field and he got like 35 yards mm-hmm. for a first down. If they take that play out, they win that game.
It was what, 13-6 at that point. And then that was the drive where they went down
and almost put it away. Well, the drop by Riley Cooper might have been the biggest play of the game. If Riley Cooper catches that ball, if that guy gets a block, he scores. There was only one guy between him and the goal mm-hmm. line, and he had a wide receiver on him. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back here breaking down some playoff games in the NFL. We covered some BCS action, which will be the last time we ever cover some BCS action. Not because we don't like college football, but because this is the last season of the BCS. We get the, I guess you can call it a playoff system next year. So we will see.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's actually audio clip of the BCS meetings in college football this year.
That's actually the father of one of the hottest NCAA coaches right now, a former NFL coach, Jim Moore Jr. That's his dad, Jimmy Moore. And I got to tell you, he was one hell of a coach in New Orleans. He brought winning football to New Orleans before anybody else did, if you remember. And I don't know. His son's doing a great job at UCLA. I mean, did you see that game this past week when UCLA fired it up? They fired it up this week. Hey,
might lose their coach.
It might be back in the NFL. He may go to the Texas guy, as you announced yesterday, got the job.
Yeah.
Where did he come from?
Louisville.
Yeah.
And he was an assistant at Florida for a while. He's got a great
coach. So they've done their homework
Charlie
on this
Strong.
Guy. Yeah, Charlie Strong. They got this. They're selling shirts already. Tony Sloan, alias The Dream, who's living in Wisconsin now, who I went to college with and played football with when I got out of college, club football, which we played like a, for the most part, we played a semi-pro slash junior college schedule, and we had a lot of fun. Drank more beer than anything else pretty much back then. Says, good morning, Bruce. Great show. Enjoying you and your partner's comments regarding the NCAA bowl situation. I agree with you and Roy G. This thing will not be right until there is a playoff format for the bowls. See you later on The Dream. I couldn't agree with him more. You know what? Let me pick the eight. Right. Just don't let the NCAA do it because they don't have
they're
a clue.
They're just going to screw it up.
They'll just screw it up like they do everything.
Also, tell people where they can see that comment.
Yes, if you find us at facebook.com/BruceAllSports.
Yeah, that's my website. Oh, that's my Facebook.
Yes.
My Facebook page.
Feel free to join in the conversation.
Yeah, there. Please call us.
Or call, yeah.
240-317-7294. I'm going to read this little thing, you know, because we're already talking a little bit about the Green Bay game. And by the way, the weather today for these two games is not the kind of games you're going to want to be outside for. Now, if you gave me a pick, I wouldn't want to be in Green Bay because there's right now the wind chill's
negative
double digits.
Whew.
Yeah, it's 2 degrees right now. when it gets dark, it's going to be colder. They say it's going to get continually cold this week. Anyway, we're supposed to get single digits in the Mid-Atlantic area or below zero in New England tomorrow and Tuesday.
What about the Super Bowl?
I hope it's -10 degrees for the Super
this
Bowl because I'm
raise,
not going.
There has to raise so many questions about the Super Bowl after just this weekend. You know?
Can you imagine, listen to me, can you imagine how much more money the hotel industry and the restaurant industry would make if it was like this during Super Bowl weekend on
Sunday?
No one's going to be at the game. They're going to let everybody that's there get as close to the middle of the field as they can. So when they show the benches, it's a full stadium.
They were saying that if it snows on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, and if the weather's terrible, then they'll move it to Monday. But it snowed, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
And it is terrible Sunday.
Listen,
moving the game a day really going to do?
How cool would it be,
though? Well, it can do a little bit of good, but
they
not
need
a lot.
Snowball. We haven't had a snowball in forever.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, you know, they were outdoors in Toronto, Senator Rob Ford. I called him Senator Rob Ford because he's smoking crack. He might as well be a U.S. senator. But Rob Ford and his Toronto people, and a lot of people from everywhere. Wasn't there 100,000 seats there?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, because they also had seats down on the field. Because the ice is not nearly as big as a football field.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the ice bowl. What do they call that?
Winter Classic.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. And it went into overtime.
That was at the Big House.
Yeah, in Toronto.
Yeah, 106,000 people.
You know, you got to love hockey. And they said it was
brutal.
Even
if you don't like hockey, that's a cool game to watch.
Be there when it's -25 wind chill. There were people there that they said, I was reading tweets. Is basically saying that was the most incredible lousy time I've ever had in my life because it was just uncomfortable.
You notice
to be sitting there.
You notice nobody left.
No, they're not. Going
hockey to. Fans, they know they expect that kind of thing.
And let me tell you this about the Super Bowl, having been to many Super Bowls, okay, and taken people to many, and many people have gone with me that have spent a lot of money at Super Bowls. Not as much money as they're spending on this Super Bowl in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what it's going to cost you people right now. If I want tickets and I need to buy tickets from an NFL person, and that's all I'm going to say, I'm going to pay them anywhere from $2,500 to about $5,000 or $6,000 per ticket wholesale. That's my cost. I will mark that up minimum $500 to $1,000, and I'm also going to have to sell them a minimum 3 nights in a hotel for a minimum of $1,000 a night.
So are you writing this down, everybody?
If you're going to the Super Bowl and you live anywhere where you know that's far enough away, if you don't have a friend in New Jersey or Connecticut or New York, where you can get to the stadium via train or bus or whatever, cab. Because that's going to be tough even getting close in a cab. They're even saying that if you drive and get a parking pass, by the way, parking passes, minimum $150, $200 a piece. You can't even go outside your car and do anything except hang out next to your car. You can't fire up a grill. You can't build a fire like they do every Sunday for home games to stay warm. You can't do any of that because they're maxing out their parking situation there.
I didn't know that.
It's going to cost you to go to the...
So no tailgating?
No, there's no tailgating allowed at the stadium.
I didn't know that.
None.
Even if you have a truck?
Are you okay? It sounded like the thing was breaking on the air.
Sorry.
He's still really upset that he lost in the the fantasy.
Oh, that's right. Roy beat him. We'll talk about that later.
No, we won't. That's old news.
Oh, that's old news.
I watched it happen.
Like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Well, it's only right that the computer and a guy that tried to fix the whole thing are in the finals. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, the guy who did fix it won.
Yeah. Hey, listen. The other thing, here's what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you at minimum $7,000-$8,000 a person to go to the Super Bowl. So if you spend $7,000 or $8,000 per person before you buy one souvenir, okay, you know, which is another $500 to $2,000, okay, you're going to go to the game. If you have to like light yourself on fire going through the door and you spend $20,000 for two packages of the Super Bowl, you're going to the game, no matter what the weather's like. Now, I did that last week in New York. Coming back from doing the show last week, it was miserable for the Giants' final home game. It was raining. It was cold. I had really good seats. I was in the first row of the club level in the end zone, but I was soaked. My legs were soaked. I was great from the waist up, from the waist down. I did not prepare for that.
Do you think Roger Goodell is looking at this weekend and starting to freak out a little bit about the Super Bowl? Because this weekend, I believe only one team sold out, that being the Philadelphia Eagles, and the other three games were in jeopardy of blacking out.
If Roger Goodell was a good commissioner, if Roger Goodell was the kind of guy we should have it in place, which we don't, what he would be thinking about is Plan B, Plan C, Plan D right now and getting prepared for that. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, 2 years ago, when they had the Super Bowl at Jerry Jones's house, where, if you remember, there were 2,500 illegal seats that they came and shut down because they were afraid people were going to die when they collapsed. You couldn't get anywhere. You know why? There was an ice storm the day before and that the night before and the day before that. The airport was closed almost for one day. Now, we had a similar situation many years ago in Atlanta when the Rams beat the Titans. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That was Dick Vermeil's only. I took a big group there.
Dyson stretching and coming up short.
On Wednesday night, there was an ice storm. Nobody that was supposed to be there Thursday got in Thursday. They didn't get in until Friday or Saturday. The Tennessee people canceled their flights and drove down. That's how they got there. And it was by the time the game started, it was probably 40, 50 degrees, and it was fine. But for 3 days of quote-unquote NFL experience, you know, which is what they call the NFL experience when you go down there. You get in for free, but you spend like thousands of dollars. And it's fun, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of memorabilia there. There's a lot of all kinds of stuff. I love going to Super Bowl. I mean, I almost don't like not going anymore. I miss my old job. You know, for 25, 30 years, I took people to that event. And it was a lot of fun. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230. I'm here with Roy Edwards. And we're talking about the Super Bowl and the problems and Goodell. But like I said, we're talking about Roger Goodell. Mm-hmm. He's probably not doing those things. He's going to wait till the last minute and just see what happens. What do you think?
I think that he has to be starting to pee himself just a little bit after seeing this weekend.
You think
games.
He's wetting himself?
I think he is. I think he wets himself regularly. I think that Danny Amendola is starting to, or is it Wes Welker? I'm sorry, Wes Welker starting to sell him some Depends through his ad campaign over this weekend's games. Because I mean, you have to at least have it in the back of your mind that it's wild card weekend, so that means you have a lot of teams who are fresh off of excitement of making the playoffs. Especially with what we went through in the last couple weeks where, this person has to win, and then the AFC wild card, nobody had an outright win and get in situation. So there were some excited people out there. And now you're talking about three possible blacked out games in those in those areas. So I think that you have to be have that in your back of your mind. You have to think that you're at least worried about it a little bit. At least exactly what you're talking about. Have some sort of a plan B, plan C, something going
plan
on
D,
there.
Plan D, plan E. Need to have, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you need to have them lined
well,
up.
Well, here's the biggest problem they're going to have.
Because if you don't sell out the Super Bowl.
Hey, think about it. But listen to this. Think about this. Everybody is going to be partying in New York City, okay? Through the Holland Tunnel, over every bridge you can imagine, okay? Maybe a few people will be in Westchester County if they're smart, if that's they right. have a friend there that could save them $1,000 a night in a hotel. You hear me, Carl Wexler? I hope you're listening to the show, buddy. Carl, I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care. I love going to Carl's because he's just got the best place in the world. I miss it. I really like going to New York. We'll be back in a minute, everybody. We're gonna talk about the games yesterday. Just remember, in the second half of the show, we've got NFL insider Clark Judge will be on. I'm pretty sure that's at 11:15. If you have something to do, make sure you're listening to the radio then. We'll see you in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So there was a story this weekend about how a lot of controversy, I guess you could say, around the Minnesota Vikings and a former punter, Chris Cluey. Not Cooley, but Chris Cluey.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
a story that Cluey, criticizes.
Cluey was drafted. He was actually drafted to be a punter, and he had a pretty good career.
And he criticizes the. He wrote an article, and he criticizes the Minnesota coaches, calling some of them cowards and some of them bigots. Now, exactly what you're talking about. A lot of people think punters. Okay, you might have picked him up off the couch, and you know he was there for a couple weeks and whatever. But exactly, this guy was drafted. So this is a little bit different. And to see him go out this way, especially, he's never going to get a job. Can we agree that he's never going to get a job ever again in the NFL?
I don't see how he'd
There's
get a
no
job.
Way.
Because, listen, punters are a dime a dozen. Like, you know, they're talking about how Rocco, whatever his name is, that was an all-pro 2 years ago with the Redskins, mm-hmm. they're going to let him go because he was, like, last in the league in net punting this year. Or gross punting, too.
Yeah.
He just, all of a sudden, he just had a really bad year. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that every time he punted, some guy ran past him for a touchdown because nobody would tackle him. I'm Bruce Hall, and that's the truth.
He was
being a Redskins fan.
8 years he was a punter for the Minnesota Vikings, and they released. He wrote this article for Deadspin, and he goes on and kind of tells his story. You know, I was cut, and they released me for no reason, and all because he was an activist for same sex marriage, gay rights, and everything like that.
Yeah. And, I mean, not coming out and saying, I'm pretty sure at one time he said he wasn't gay, but it's not a big deal anyway. I mean, he was kind of an outspoken guy for this group.
Kind of, yeah, definitely an outspoken guy.
But my point is that according to what he wrote, he didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, just out of the blue, this special teams coach would say things to him, like, that were just pretty bigoted in what he said. Now, whether that's true or not, we'll never know. The guy denied it. Matt said he denied it. I read he denied it. He denied it. What else is he going to do? I'm not saying he ever said it, but they're going to have an investigation about this because the NFL is very touchy about things like this. Now, having said that, I'm on Twitter a lot, maybe too much. And I got to tell you, I just love getting the information quick. And I love, you know, the thing about Twitter that's so great is everybody is so careful not to. I thought Lenny Dawson was dead, so I made the comment yesterday, and I apologize, Len. I don't know why I thought that. It was evidently another former Kansas City. It was Curly Culp, I think, who was an all-pro and an NCAA wrestling champion. He died this past year, and the way my brain processes information, because I'm a wrestling coach, I thought it was somebody I loved, and I used. I always loved Lenny Dawson. I got a picture of Lenny Dawson smoking a cigarette at halftime in the locker room of the Chiefs Super Bowl.
Pulling a Jay Cutler.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to tell you, you know, the thing about, you know, I said You know, I bet the former coach Hank Stram and Lenny Dawson were having a cold drink somewhere in heaven. And I got it. And I got it. I got it. This is great. I got something back from a close friend of mine that goes, it was Holden Kushner. He goes, Lenny's not dead, because Holden used to work in Kansas City. And of course, what I did was I Wikipedia'd it right
immediately,
and he wasn't dead. He's like 86 years old.
He's like, I follow you on Twitter, man. What the hell?
So I immediately got it off. I deleted
it.
Because you can delete it.
You can't
kill people. And I apologized for it. And I said, Lenny, I owe you a drink when I see you at Super Bowl, if I see you.
Pulled a CNN.
But
Joe Pa off I got a day early.
But the greatest thing, but I read Tangent Bruce, I read this week, about my favorite quarterback in the NFL. All of a sudden, he's denying that he's gay. And I'm thinking, I've never heard anything. Of course, now I'm not in Green Bay.
Well, the blogs hit pretty hard.
We're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the blogs hit the road pretty hard, and the story gained a lot of steam talking about how there was a possible ex-boyfriend from Aaron Rodgers who was going to out him and was going to speak up, and all of the blogging world got a hold of this rumor and started posting just really nothing that had any factual.
It could have been just some idiot from Chicago trying to get
it
under
his
skin.
It really could have.
It could have been Cutler's wife.
Yeah, and
I don't trust her.
Have you
seen her on the commercials?
She's not
a trustworthy lady at all. I'm just kidding, Jay.
I'd do her if she wasn't married to you.
And I wasn't married.
Oh, thanks, Bruce.
And I wasn't married. Thanks, Bruce. I think I'll hang with her now. I think she's like a former Miss whatever.
She's the chick from the movie. That movie, the show on MTV, like The Hills or something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
Her name's like Kristen or something.
Yeah, watch MTV.
Hey, let me say this. This past week, she just got a lot richer.
Yeah,
because what was Cutler's deal? Like $17 million for
7 year, $126 million, $50 million guaranteed, and I believe it is $18 million a year is what it averages out to be, which actually
is only $9 million after taxes.
It's really
What is the first and second year though?
Because that's
Really not that bad of a contract.
No, his is backloaded. And they also said
there's a bank of Cutler, so to speak.
Well, they can also have him redo it over and over. And the great thing about that is once they do put that into a 401k type situation, it's all tax free. Until you actually collect on it.
It's really not that bad of a contract.
Of course, by the time, if the government keeps going the way it is, we'll probably have 90% income tax by then, so Cutler will wish he hadn't back-ended it.
Plus, I think I heard...
I'm Bruce Hall, and I don't talk about politics ever.
I think I heard that there was
a... Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to say this right now.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever watch the... discount, double-check,
Yeah.
I like the guy on the wing. With the cheese head, he's my favorite guy.
I like the guy, he pulls down the thing and starts grilling on the plane.
Yeah,
we're in
grill section
he's
here.
Like,
that's a guy from Cheers. Norm. Anyway, I want to say this right now. Jay Cutler, I don't care if you're gay or straight or bisexual. It doesn't matter.
Aaron Rodgers. Jay Cutler, we don't think is
well,
gay.
Well, we don't know.
Kristen could be a dude.
I could be hurting Jay. By saying Jay's not gay, I could be hurting him.
Yeah.
You know, so Jay, that was a mistake. Aaron, I don't care, but here's the deal. You know what? If it's not true and somebody reported this, get a life. You know, don't you have something better to do than to screw with somebody's life like that? Leave him alone.
That's just the NFC North, though. The NFC North is just like that.
I mean,
well, they were weak this year.
The blogging world.
Look
this
who's
year,
representing the NFC North, a team that was 8-7-1.
I'm not talking about the teams. I'm talking about the fans. Yeah. The fans up there are just weird.
They have nothing to do. They ice fish. Hello? Yeah. They ice fish.
Canada South.
Have you ever been ice fishing?
No.
I've been out fishing. I've been on a lake frozen. Driven out to it, sat and watched guys ice fish when I went to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Did you ice fish or you just watched guys ice fish?
I watched guys ice fish because, listen, the ice is so thick. They drive their huge trucks, and then they put these big tents up, and in the tents they have heaters, and they run these heaters on the ice, and the ice is so cold and so frozen and so thick it doesn't even go through the ice. But you know what they do? They just drink beer and liquor. That's all they do. It's what the guys do up there because evidently up there, there's not much to do in the wintertime at all, except
blog about except the other go ice
blog about the other team's quarterbacks being gay. That's
and they
the
go to that Aaron
Rodgers.
They go,
you know?
They go to that Mall of the Americas, which is like the largest mall in the world.
That's
which,
in Cincinnati, though, right?
No, it's in Minneapolis. Where are you from? How old are you? Oh, that's right.
Mall of America.
Never mind.
Not
Bruce Saul. Roy just Man, sometimes is clueless.
That just blew my mind.
That's all right.
I think you're thinking of the mall from Mallrats.
I think you're thinking of the mall from Leesburg, Virginia. That's actually a pretty good mall, the one up there.
You play, Tyson's.
You've never no not Tyson's.
Tyson's a great mall.
Never mind, Roy. You are he doesn't even know what I'm talking about. Matt, have you ever been to that mall in Leesburg? It's an outdoors like, you know, discount mall.
The outlets?
Outlets, yeah.
I've been to Leesburg Outlets.
Well, then why'd you just say Tyson's?
The
hell
with that's
Tyson's
the biggest
mall. Tyson's is a real great. Mall. But it's a real mall.
I love Tyson's.
That's a real I go there all the time.
You know what?
You gotta go early.
If I have to go shopping, I go to Tyson's because I know that I'm supporting the Washington Nationals when I do.
All right, let's get back to Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
So where is that lay right now? It's just we're waiting.
I really think that
Jesus, I don't even want to think about it.
I really think that this was just another case of the blogging world trying to gain
start
a million hits for
They're
their
trying
site.
To start something, aren't they?
Yes. When it comes to this time of the year, and anybody who owns any type of website that has to do with sports will know this. This is the time of the year where things extremely slow down. College football is over with. The majority
almost,
of the
almost.
Oh no! If you cover a team, you're done because you have a. If you're covering one team for a blog site, your season ended weeks ago because there's nothing you can write between. Even if your team has a bowl game, there is nothing that you can fill your site with every single day that is going to entice people to come there. There's nothing you can do.
All right,
so you make up stories.
So, Bruce, you and me need to come up with a story for him. What's the most believable thing that's absolutely
well,
not
true?
Well,
you don't
true?
Lie.
But some
blog sites
I'm not
sites
that short
do.
Of material that I even want to touch that subject.
Some blog sites do lie.
Oh, by the way, does everybody know who Michael Wilbon is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna bust Michael Wilbon in the chops right now. I'm on Twitter this morning getting ready for the show, and here is a tirade from Michael Wilbon. You know, American Airlines just, you know, merged with US Air.
They
took two very lousy airlines and made one really bad airline. But Michael Wilbon is in Chicago. Now, in Chicago, they're pretty much been under blizzard conditions off and on for days now, right? For the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's where
history.
This weather is coming through right now. Michael Wilbon was there early in the morning because it said to be around 6:30, 7 o'clock. I'm reading this. And he is screaming at them, why am I waiting an hour to get on the plane?
Well,
you know what? You know what I said? I said, Michael, go get something to eat. You know, your blood sugar is obviously a little low. And go turn on the weather channels. They're canceling tens of thousands of flights nationwide. If you get out of that airport, you're a lucky guy. I mean, Michael Wilbon, there was a time I liked him a lot more than Tony Kornheiser. I think I'm at the point now where Tony is actually past Michael Wilbon with me. Seriously. You know how me and Kornheiser, you know about me and Kornheiser, mm-hmm. and, you know, him blowing me up and all that stuff.
Yep.
I didn't forgive him for that, but I did. And I like to listen to his show now. But now that, well, I can't say this because Holdy saved me with that. Holy Kushner's no longer on 106.7.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And Danny Rullier stayed, but you know who they have? Grant.
Grant Paulson.
Grant Paulson, who will be with them exactly 2 months because he does baseball, too. He's a great baseball analyst, by the way. Grant Paulson, if ESPN is smart, they'll pay him. But see, ESPN doesn't pay anybody. They don't. They're cheap.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that you're an ESPN guy.
It's Disney.
He needs to go to Fox or NBC Sports.
Why do you think all of the people leave ESPN?
I don't know, Roy.
Big and then
I don't
leave.
Know, Roy. Why?
And then
you're 27.
And then,
you should know.
And then they replace them with some other person who looks very similar to them, but is not the same.
Well, there's
person.
A lot of guys, though, also that are very comfortable at ESPN. You know, that have been around for years.
Right. Well,
you know
there
who
is.
I saw the other day on ESPN. I saw what's the crazy guy's name? Big, tall, skinny.
Which one? They're all.
No. The tall, skinny guy that does all the funny stories.
Scott Van Pelt.
No, not Scott. He's bald.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm talking about this guy is great.
Kenny Mayne?
Yeah, Kenny Mayne. I saw Kenny Mayne. I hadn't seen him maybe in 6 months to a year. He quit coloring his hair. It's white. like Mr. Clean. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Second hour fun here.
Yeah, we're back. Listen, real quick, I want to tell everybody, I was 3-1 yesterday. You need to follow me around playoffs. It's when I'm at my best. I always have been. I'll probably win this thing in the... Oh, go to NHBowl, B-O-W-L.com. N as in Nancy, H as in Harvey, B-O-W-L, like in bowl.com, and see how I'm doing. It's 3-1 yesterday, all five-star plays. You know, and everybody was telling me how crazy I was. A couple of people were. And I said, well, hey, if you don't like my plays, play your plays. Why are you calling me anyway, dipstick? 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. Call me afternoon, about 12:05. I'll be by the phones on my way home in the ice. And I'll let you know what's going on today. I'll probably let you know if you listen to the show the rest of the next hour. You'll find out how I feel anyway, okay? Because I really don't hide anything, especially at playoff time. Because if you still have any money at all, nat, you're probably not bad. Most of the guys that lose all of their widgets.
If you still have a bank, then you're doing good.
If you don't have people trying to kill you, you're in good shape. Hey, listen.
Wife and kids. Still
so
there.
Seven coaches.
Yeah,
have
we
been
got
farmed.
seven coaches that have been, and somebody,
some of who have been replaced.
Yeah. Already. Oh, yeah. Only a couple. And there's a lot of people saying, and if you'd like to hear, that's why I wanted Tony calling in. Because Tony is saying that they think they're going to get the defensive coordinator from Carolina there. It's probably me.
McDermott?
Can I talk Sean about McDermott? This game yesterday just real quick? You know what? I'll wait until my buddy calls, Clark Judge, here in about 15.
Should we run down the coaches? Do you want to
Let's run down the coaches. Because, listen, people, there's no doubt in my mind that – if you have a kid that's smart and he loves football and he goes to a certain level of football and he becomes a student, you know, like a graduate assistant, and then he ends up being asked to be a college coach, if you got a kid with an IQ over 110, 120, I mean a really sharp kid that loves to break down football, he could be a head coach in the NFL.
He could be the next Gary Kubiak.
He could definitely be a head coach in Washington because they're getting ready to hire Jay Gruden. And why are they going to hire Jay Gruden? Look at me.
I want Jay Gruden, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I don't. He's an offensive guy, and he's John Gruden's little brother.
Yep.
I don't want Jay Gruden. They're only going to hire – he's only even coaching because his brother was – his brother put in the time. Oh. His brother's got a sweet gig, $5 million a year.
Jay Gruden is a – I mean
– he's okay.
He's a very smart mind.
Yeah,
and he's the –
yeah, when I think offense, I think Cincinnati Bengals. Come on. This is the first year that they've even – let me ask you a question, Roy, since you've done your homework.
Uh-huh.
How many wins does the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, who used to be the defensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, how many wins does he have in the playoffs in Cincinnati?
Zero.
Yeah. Why do I want even – I mean, it's a miracle he's kept his job in Cincinnati, in my opinion.
The head coach, or Jay Gruden?
The head coach. Yeah. No, not Jay Gruden, because he's perfectly – as long as Marvin Lewis has a job, Jay will have a job.
Well, Marvin Lewis –
now, don't get me wrong. Jay's done a good job.
Yeah,
he's
got
a quarterback he's had for 3 years. And by the way, Andy Dalton, for all the crap he takes – I'm getting on your side now because I'm pointing out the pluses here.
Yeah.
3 years, 30 or more – touchdown passes.
Yeah.
That is he's the second guy to ever do that.
Probably the first redhead.
He'll probably be the first and last redhead. But let me just say
nothing
this.
Against redheads,
he's done a good job. He's also got two really good running backs. He's also got an offensive line that's decent.
And he's been around forever.
And he's also got a head coach, Roy, that's a defensive guy. Those defensive guys as head coaches, what they do is they create a really comfortable base for an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because if they can get the other team the hell off the field, and you have a guy even like Kyle Shanahan that is, you know, has his moments and does a pretty good job with numbers and getting, you know, and keeping the ball and throwing the ball and running the football, you're going to win a lot of games. You're going to win at least eight, usually.
Yeah.
And that's what Cincinnati's been allowed to do. Now, they've had a couple of years since Marvin's been there where they were below 500. But I think usually they're 9-7, 8-8, 10-6.
I think they make the playoffs like every 4 years.
Yeah, I think this is the
it's
first
a contract
time,
year.
But isn't this the first time they were 11-5 in a long time?
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people last year thought he'd be on this short list. We're getting ready. Now, let's talk about first. Who lost their job first?
First was Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, and he had a stroke midseason. Yeah, and he wins two games, and they lose 14 in a row. And you're not the only expert, and I consider you an expert because you spend a lot of time on the NFL. You're not the only expert that picked them to be in the Super Bowl. Yeah. There were a lot of guys at ESPN that have picked them to be in the Super Bowl. Yeah. No, a lot of people.
My other guys are still alive, though.
Yeah,
the 49ers, who I picked to win it.
Well, you know what? I got them today, and I've just given everybody that pick. All right, let's go. Who was the second guy that
the
lost
next guy
job?
Was the Cleveland Browns' Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, Chud, which a lot of people didn't understand, A, why he got the job to begin with, and B, why they let him go so early, because if anything, Cleveland didn't play terribly this year, and they had a lot of injuries. And they have a good defense.
He wasn't even there for a calendar year.
No,
didn't even get 365.
In my opinion, that's just an example of a group of people that are listening to everybody. Mm-hmm. They don't have a football guy there. Listen, they had Holmgren there, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Well, he knew more football than all of those guys put together. But they needed to get rid of Holmgren. But they didn't need to bring Joe Banner in. Joe Banner and the owner and some other guy, that's me. Excuse me, I'm burping. It just sounds like a computer. But in my opinion, and Tony, if Tony comes in, that was probably Tony. If Tony comes on at the end of the show, we'll know exactly what's going on. Who's the next guy?
The next one would be Leslie Frazier.
Yeah, you know, great defensive backfield coach, great coordinator. You know who?
And he's not jobless anymore.
No, do you know who? I know he just got a defensive coordinator's job. Well, he deserves it because he's a great defense. A lot of guys are good coordinators that can't. They're not big picture guys. I'm a big picture guy in baseball. I can stand on third base. I can do anything on a baseball field, but I'm a big picture guy in baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, in football, I don't think I would be, because I think I would want to either be a DC or a linebacker coach, because I would just want to control a handful of guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I knew my guys were doing their job. I would not want to be in control. That's a lot of people on an NFL team, a college team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with that. In baseball, it's a lot smaller number.
Yeah.
In baseball, I've got 35 guys on my roster, but I've only got 9 guys on the field at once.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fun. That's easy. That's different. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen there?
In Minnesota? Man,
yeah,
I don't
who
know.
Wants to go to Minnesota?
Nobody.
When is the next time the Metrodome roof is going to collapse?
I honestly haven't even really heard
play for Ziggy. Well, Ziggy Wolf just settled for some incredible amount of money in a fraud suit, allegedly. In the offseason, they settled out of court, and I want to say it was like a $3 million settlement, and he's still got money. So the guy's got more money than he does sense. Obviously, nobody in football wants to work for him, and who wants to live in Minneapolis to begin with?
It's the worst of all seven.
Now,
I think it's the worst.
I think it's probably the worst job too.
I think it's worse. You have Adrian Peterson, and that's it.
Yeah, and you know what? Who's going to probably end up there? In my opinion, is going to be a guy that has roots there, that maybe went to school up there. You know who went to school up there? Shanahan. Shanahan coached at the University of Minnesota. Kyle lived in Bloomington.
Kyle needs a job.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That might be the place for those guys to go. Now, he'll need to use the sun lamps because there's not a lot of sun.
It's not Houston where they have all those crazy ties.
Right.
And then Leslie Frazier, he didn't have a job very long. We'll talk about where he ended up as defensive coordinator on the other side. Also a place where they lost their head coach. We'll check that out and the rest of the short list on the other side.
Yeah, and we're going to be back. We'll have Clark Judge on here when we get back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We've got Clark Judge on the line. Clark, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm totally exhausted from all the great football I saw yesterday. And even though I didn't, you know, go 4-for-4 yesterday, I was extremely happy with the quality of football that we did, that we got to see yesterday. We saw pretty much something you never see except once every, 20 years? A team come back from a 38-10 deficit in the second half.
I mean
that was unreal.
Like that was, it was the Buffalo game, and I do remember that Buffalo game. Frank Reich was the quarterback, and Andre Reed was the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah. But it's funny because I watched that game, and I thought it was entertaining. I didn't think it was particularly good football. I thought the tackling was atrocious.
Both sides, particularly. Yeah. Well, the coverage.
Kansas City in the second half was atrocious. They couldn't cover anyone. They lost a lot of players. So the injuries are a factor, but injuries are always a factor in football, and it's, you know, who steps in there. And, boy, I mean, the play calling, honestly, was really surprising to me, too. When they had a lead, yeah. Kansas City's still throwing the ball. You go, you need to burn the clock. Now, I understand Jamaal Charles wasn't in. They lost his second string running back. But at some point, you got to burn the clock and take some time off, and incomplete passes don't do that.
Clark, we were talking about this before he came on, about whether it was that Kansas City lost that game or Indianapolis won that game.
I think Kansas City lost it.
Yeah.
I think lost. I mean, you have 38-10. You cannot let anyone catch it from behind. And, you know, Smith makes the turnover. He loses the ball. That's a score there. He misses an open receiver. It wasn't Alex Smith's fault. I mean, that defense, if it's any good, which it's not now, should have protected that lead. They can't get to the quarterback anymore. I mean, you look at their numbers, guys, and first half of the season, you know, they had a lot of sacks. They had 35 sacks in the first half of the season. Second eight games. They had 11 or 12. 12. They had 12 the second half. And they didn't put any pressure on Andrew Luck. Now, that's not taking anything away from Andrew Luck. He played a great game. That said, he shouldn't be able to dig out of a 20-point deficit.
No, absolutely. But the thing I liked about the game was just the fieriness of Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. I mean, this kid in 2 years in the NFL has more comeback victories than just a large number of veterans that have been around forever. I mean, in the second, Andrew Luck doesn't seem to care if he's behind at all.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't, and that's the mark of a good quarterback. Yeah. I mean, that's how most quarterbacks should be wired, but he's got 11 fourth-quarter overtime comeback victories in his first 2 years. That's more than anyone in NFL history, and that tells you something about his resolve and resilience. But it does tell me something about that Kansas City team. As I said, you're in the playoffs. You got a 28-point lead in the playoffs, and you blow it. That's inexcusable. The Chiefs, at the end of the game, I just said, Chiefs shouldn't go on because they don't deserve to go on. They're not good enough to win this game. If they had won that game, they're just waiting to be executed in Denver. So if San Diego doesn't win today. So I thought Kansas City went as far as it should.
Yeah, you know, I felt so strongly, and you know I did because I think I even mentioned it to you yesterday, that I felt so strongly about Indianapolis really being the team that everybody was overlooking because they had beaten five really good teams during the year. Their losses came, you know, like pretty much when they just didn't show up mentally. And the thing I liked about what I saw yesterday and what I didn't like about yesterday, I've watched Andy Reid, you know, being in the NFC East down here in the D.C. area for a long time. This game just smelled like I love Andy Reid, but it smelled like Andy Reid. When he was in Philadelphia, he always threw the ball too much. That's the one thing that Philadelphia fans and a lot of the people that cover the Eagles when Andy was in town would say, he'd throw the ball 70% of the time sometimes. And when you're ahead, like you said, 38-10, run the football. Now, he did lose his number one running back early in the game, but he had other guys he could give the football to, didn't he, Clark?
Well, yeah, now it's Davis, and then all of a sudden he's gone. I mean, he lost his second string running back, too, but then Alex Smith is his primary running back at that point. But they could use Dexter McCluskey, out of the backfield. They don't use him more as a receiver, slot receiver, a third down back. But somebody should have gotten the ball, and they didn't. And you're right about that being the criticism of Andy in Philadelphia, but honestly, I thought it was unwarranted criticism because you play to your strengths. You play to your personnel.
Right.
And it's not about, as they said, it's not about X's and O's, it's about Jimmy's and Joe's. And what he had was personnel built for the passing game. So, you know, when Tom Brady in 2007 was throwing the ball, whatever it was, 65% of the time, no one seemed to care.
Yeah.
The reason? They didn't lose. They didn't lose. So they weren't running the ball at all. They were throwing it. And Brady was throwing for 50 touchdowns. Well, no one had a problem with that. When you're winning, no one has a problem. When you're losing, they do. Yesterday, I thought, when you're ahead, you've got to find a way to wind that clock down. Get a couple first downs, but run it. Play it safe, short passes, do whatever you can to just move that ball. Remember that first drive when they went right down the field? They ran it most of the time. Now,
Jamal
Charles was in the line. That was a difference.
Does the Indianapolis Colts, do they have the receiving core that will be able to make a further push for this postseason? I mean, you're talking about they're either going to see the Patriots or the Broncos going forward here. And T.Y. Hilton, as great of a game that he had, is he a good enough receiver to move this Colts team through the postseason?
But by himself, no, he's not. I mean, I agree with what Rodney Harrison said yesterday, which was what? They have T.Y. Hilton and who else? I mean, he's the guy. He used to have Reggie Wayne. He's gone. T.Y. Hilton, so double cover him, and Kobe Fleener's going to beat you. Kobe Fleener's a nice tight end. He's not going to beat you. And yet, you know, these guys are catching balls all over the place. And as I said, I think that's more a statement of what Kansas City didn't have than what Indianapolis did. Now, what Indianapolis has got right now is momentum, and they've also got a quarterback who believes he can win any game, and he proved it yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, if they have to go to Denver, they beat Denver this year. It was in Indianapolis, but they beat them. So they know they can do that. And Denver's got its own issues. Denver's defense isn't very good either. So, you know, I think the Colts have a reasonable chance, but they're short of personnel. And what Bruce was saying earlier about them sort of stumbling midway through the season, that's when I gave up on them because they were falling behind bad teams. And, you know, they dropped behind Houston 18 points and came back to beat them. Houston's a bad team. And they were struggling to beat bad teams. They're falling behind so much so early. And then they steady themselves at the end of the year. Granted, two of those wins were against Houston, Jacksonville, bad teams. But one of the wins was against Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium where they thumped them 23-7 and forced four turnovers. I thought turnovers would be the difference yesterday. And when Luck made those three interceptions, said, that's it, it's over. And then he comes back, as we know, and what happened the second half. And now I think they got momentum going for them. We'll see where it takes them. But to answer your question, they're going to need more than T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, you know, in just over 22 minutes of a regulation game, they had 536 yards, Indianapolis. That says more about the lack of defense for Kansas City, in my opinion, than anything else, especially when you look at who their receivers were. They were making Fleener look like Mike Ditka at times.
Yeah.
You know, Fleener doesn't drop two. He dropped two or three passes.
The winning touchdown, I mean, you know, T.Y. Hilton's, you know, 5 yards behind anybody. I mean, the Chiefs didn't have anyone who could cover at the end, and that was the problem. And honestly, as I said, had they advanced, how do you like their chances next week? I mean, they'd have trouble fielding the team next week. So the better team won.
Hey, let's talk about that Eagle game. Because after I come back somehow and look like just like I know everything when Indy wins that first game, and I got to tell you, I never had more people call me and apologize for calling me four-letter words in my life as I did after that game. They got, you know, how did you know? And I'm like, I didn't know, believe me. But they shouldn't have been that far behind to begin with. But in the Philadelphia game, I thought it was basically just Philly not – they just never got going. And then there were a couple of big plays, like, you know, the drop – by the long-haired dude, what's his name?
Riley Cooper.
Who is a good receiver and had his own problems this year. Shoot, I spent more time yesterday talking to people about Riley Cooper's social problems than I did about anything else. I mean, I thought, you know, if you go back to the way they handled it, I thought they did a great job, and I thought Mike Vick, you know, deserved a lot of credit keeping that team together back before the season even started when Riley Cooper had that problem with, you know, some of the things he said on tape that people could actually see. But yesterday he makes a drop, Clark, that if he catches that ball, he may score.
There was a ton of real estate in front of him.
There was nobody there, and he had a blocker out in front that could have probably just chopped the guy he was with, or you know, pushed him out of bounds or whatever. If they score on that, I think they probably win that game. But they never did, and they scored too quickly. You know, one of the things that bothered me about that game was, and I think the guy did a great job. I mean, the new head coach for the Eagles, Chip Kelly, I thought he did a great job this year. I think he's going to be a good NFL coach. And I think very, you know, if you probably know a lot more about their coaches than I do, but their defensive coordinator has been around the league, and he's done a great job there. And, you know, when they introduced those guys at the start of the game, every one of those guys, to me, has improved this year. I mean, they
oh, no, they have.
Yeah, their last 10 games, they gave up. I think they were like in the top 10 in defense in the entire league in their last 10 games. Their first six games, they were getting ready to set an NFL record on giving up too many points. But I think a lot of that was getting used to the offense too. Do you see this Eagle team getting better, Clark, next year?
Oh, sure, yeah, because I'll make some personnel changes, mostly on defense. I mean, Patrick Chung is gone, safety, and he couldn't cover yesterday. He had problems tackling. He really had a lot of trouble. Their safeties, I think, are an issue. They'll make some adjustments defensively, and they'll be better. The story last night wasn't their defense as much as it was New Orleans. New Orleans did a great job bottling up the league's number one rushing attack and the league's number one rusher, and that was LeSean McCoy. And they forced the game on Nick Foles' shoulder. Nick Foles is a good quarterback, and this season for Philadelphia is the fact that the story of the season, they found themselves a quarterback. Nick Foles is the guy. Michael Vick will be playing somewhere else next year, but Nick Foles is the guy. And he played very well, but not well enough in key spots, nor did that offense. And I thought that was because New Orleans flummoxed them. I mean, New Orleans, I didn't give much of a chance to, basically because they were going outside. I mean, you know, dome teams outdoors in the playoffs don't have a great track record, especially as you start to progress deep into the playoffs. They don't win conference championship games outdoors. They just don't. And so you look at New Orleans and say, this team's never won a road playoff game under Sean Payton, and they've never run a road playoff game, period. And so there was a lot going against it, a cold night, and yet the wind wasn't blowing, and they seemed to adjust to it well, and in the end, experience won out. I mean, the experience of Drew Brees and that team won out. They ran the ball very effectively. They looked like the league's number one rushing attack, and they kept going, you know, for 10, 12, 15 yards against these guys. They were gashing them, and that's without Pierre Thomas. You know, and so you look at it and go, if Pierre Thomas had been, what would these guys have done? I think they had like 189 yards or 187 yards rushing. I mean, they continue to get big yards, and so the hope for them moving forward is, hey, we won this game, even though Drew Brees didn't throw for 400 yards, even though Drew Brees threw for one touchdown, two interceptions, we won this game. That's the good news. The bad news, you got to go to Seattle where you don't have a chance. Okay, the road's going to end next week.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Because I was getting to a point where I wasn't real sure. You know, they had the ball for 35 minutes. Now, granted, Philly never has the ball that long because they do play a little hurry-up, but they didn't play hurry-up yesterday. And that I was a little surprised not to see them getting on the ball a little bit faster yesterday, Clark. We're going to break in a minute. If you can stay on, I'd love to talk about today's games when you come back, if that's all right. Time of possession, 35 minutes for New Orleans. You know who had maybe his second best game, and his other best game was not long ago, and that was Mark Ingram. I thought Mark Ingram just showed up big time yesterday. I mean, he just looked like terrific. Nobody could stop him.
Yeah, and that may be because of Pierre Thomas being in. In fact, it probably is. He got a lot more time, and he made the most of it. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop anyone yesterday. I mean, honestly, the Eagles' defense was porous against the run, and that was supposed to be the other way around. New Orleans was supposed to have the trouble stopping the run. It turns out it was the Eagles, and especially on that last drive, they burned the clock. New Orleans did, going down the field. They played as if Kansas City should have played in that game against Indianapolis, just running the ball down the field effectively and kept getting first downs with their running game. And we know what happened there. But yeah, the running game, not Drew Brees, was the story last night.
Yep. Hold on, Clark. We'll be back. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Clark Judge on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. We're on the line with Clark Judge, NFL Insider. Clark, thank you so much for hanging on with us. The one thing, last thing I wanted to say was the clock management at the end of the New Orleans game, Brees did it perfectly. Absolutely. And you know what? There was nothing that Philly could do because he did it. He did it so perfectly, and it worked out for him. If they'd have known that they were going to get within field goal range, if they'd have known they were going to burn, I thought one timeout they burned, I wouldn't have burned it. I would have burned two before the two-minute warning. But the thing of it is it didn't matter. But the one thing that Philly did do that hurt them was throwing that ball and drawing the pass interference call with 5 minutes left in the game. That killed them.
That's right. I mean, they scored too soon is what you're saying.
Exactly.
And that's true. But, I mean, you want to get ahead. And Drew Brees showed his experience there down the stretch. But they had a second and 11. New Orleans had a second 11, I think, at the 49 with, you know, just over 2 minutes to go. And that, to me, was the key play because if the Eagles make the stop there, now they force them to third and long, and anything can happen. And what happens on second 11, they give the ball to the backup running back. And
oh,
he goes
yeah.
for, I think, 13 mm-hmm. yards. And they just couldn't stop him. And so, it was good clock management, but it was also bad defense. They just could not stop the run when they had to. And on that play, they should have. And I heard afterwards the defense coordinator for the Eagles saying, you know, it was my fault, it's on me. Well, it's on somebody because the
Can't
Saints ran
happen.
Wild without Pierre mm-hmm. Thomas. They had no answer for him, and no answer in the first half or the second half, especially on that last drive, and that's where the game was
lost. Robinson did a good job. He had 8 carries for 45 yards. That's nothing to sneeze at. Hey, let's talk about today's game because this is where we make our money. I'm looking at the AFC wildcard game today. You got the Chargers. This team is a lot better, in my opinion, than a lot of people give them credit for. But a lot of people don't think they're going to do anything going into Cincinnati with the weather, with Cincinnati being 8-0 at home. It's obvious that Andy Dalton's a better quarterback at home. Clark, give us your take on this game and what you think is going to happen.
Well, I think the Chargers have a chance. I really do. I mean, honestly, I covered that team for 10 years, so I'm probably biased towards them.
Me too.
I think they've got a chance because they're hot. I trust their quarterback. I don't trust Andy Dalton. You don't know if good Andy or bad Andy's going to show up. And I know what you said. You know, he's better at home. Yeah, he's better at home. He threw 4 interceptions at home last week against the Ravens.
Yeah.
So you don't know which guy's going to show up. That said, they've got a security blanket, and the security blanket is their defense. Their defense is good. Mike Zimmer does a heck of a job with that defense. They're in top 5 run and pass, and they're the only team who's in the top 5 in the run and pass. So I trust their defense. I don't trust their quarterback. Plus, they have an enormous ghost to dispel, and that's the fact they can't win playoff games. They're 0-4 under Marvin Lewis. They haven't won a playoff game, period, since 1991. So to me, the Chargers come in here playing with house money. They know they're lucky to be here. They know they shouldn't be here, and yet they are. And so now they got a shot, so they have nothing to lose. The Bengals, on the other hand, have the weight of expectations on their shoulders, plus history to dispel. They've got to win a playoff game, and Andy Dalton has to do something in the playoffs. In 2 years, he's 0-2, no touchdowns, 4 interceptions, has a passer rating like 48. It's barely above a dead man, basically. He's got to do something positive.
I think that's too many points, too. I mean, anytime you give somebody 7, 7.5, 8 points in a playoff game, and listen, their running game, the Chargers' running game is a good running game. And I don't think that playing for 4 hours, 3.5, 4 hours, you know, being a little bit cold, being a little uncomfortable when you know you're going to end up moving on in the playoffs towards the Super Bowl is anything, especially a guy like Rivers. He needs this. This is something that Rivers
does.
Has dreamed about for so long. He's finally got Mike McCoy there. They seem to be getting along very well. Everybody, the coaching staff that McCoy put together is a very good coaching staff. They're just going to get better. In my opinion, you know, they remind me a lot of you know, other teams that have come along that their coaches are doing well. And by the way, now that we're talking about that and you mentioned Mike Zimmer, where do you think Zimmer is going to end up? Do you think he's going to get a head coaching job, Clark?
You know, I don't know, Bruce. I mean, he should have by now. And frankly, he's got the qualifications, and he has had the qualifications. He's got a candid sort of in-your-face approach, which rubs some people the wrong way. But I'm going to tell you that the guys who play for him love him, and the guys they take risks on, people that they say, oh, they can't play anywhere else. Vontaze Burfict is a good example. Adam Pac-Man Jones is another example. They can't play for anyone. They play for him, and they love him, and he does a good job with him. And I think he's going to end up somewhere. Now, you know, is it Washington? Is it Detroit? I don't know. I mean, you talk about San Diego. Ken Whisenhunt's a lead dog in Detroit, and I think he should be. I mean, with Matt Stafford there, he's a guy who could do for Stafford what he did for Philip Rivers. Talk about Mike McCoy. Wiz has done a great job with that offense there, putting Philip Rivers back together again. So You got two people here who are on the coaching radar. Mm-hmm. I would hope Mike Zimmer gets a job. I know Ken Whisenhunt will somewhere. He's in the mix in Tennessee. He's in the mix in Washington where he wants to play. He's in the mix in Detroit, virtually anywhere you want to name. Zimmer's name, as I said, a little bit different because he can rub people the wrong way. I don't care. I know he's going to win games. I mean, hey, Bill Belichick rubs a lot of people the wrong way. He wins games too. So that shouldn't be held against him. I would hope both these guys are head coaches by next
year. You know, real quick, I listened to Fred Smoot, and I'm going to ask the same question you're going to ask right now anyway. but I wanted to lead into it. I was listening to an idiot like Fred Smoot, and Fred Smoot, you know, does a show here in Washington, and we listen to it from time to time. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how if he was out looking for a coach, that he wouldn't be looking for a Super Bowl. He would not be looking for a Super Bowl winner. He'd be looking for a Super Bowl loser, and that's Ken Whisenhunt. And, you know, when he said that, I didn't think much about it. Then I started thinking, you know what? Who's more motivated than somebody that's been to the dance and didn't win?
Smoot also wins.
That's also Jeff Fisher, too. No, but that's Jeff Fisher, too. Yeah. But my point is this. You know, Detroit, to me, if I was a head coach candidate, that would be a great place to end up for a couple reasons. Number one, that family is going to be there for a while. They're not going anywhere. And Martin Mayhew is, I think, a pretty good general manager. He played the game. He knows the game. He was a great defensive cornerback. He's a smart guy. I used to take Martin to Super Bowls. I mean, he was one of the guys I took with me when I took, 100, 200 people to Super Bowls. He and Wiz played together. You know, so if he ends up in Detroit, to me, it's not even going to be that big of a surprise for me. Where would you consider? This is what Roy wanted to ask.
Yeah,
I can say it. Where would you consider the top three places?
I heard you talking during the break. Yeah. I mean, the number one place is Detroit. Right behind it's Houston. Detroit, you've got talent on both sides of the ball. You have patient and stable ownership. And those are prerequisites for a good coaching job. And you've got a quarterback in place. You've got a franchise or potential franchise quarterback in place who needs some work. He needs to be straightened out. And Matt Stafford makes too many mistakes. He needs to be straightened out. So that's why a guy like Wiz is perfect for him. You get a guy in there who can help the quarterback, get that offense going, and restore some discipline to that team. I mean, they take too many stupid penalties and do too many stupid things. And they lose games they should win. So that, to me, is the most attractive job, just because on both sides of the ball, you have talent. They should have won that division. Should have won it easily.
Oh, easy.
They blew it down the stretch, and so should Chicago. Chicago blew it down the stretch, too. That's why Green Bay's in. But and I think Green Bay is the best team in that division. Green Bay won without Aaron Rodgers. He comes back for one game. But then you look at Houston. Houston's got talent, too, but they need a quarterback. You got the first pick in the draft. That's great. That's a great situation. You can make your choice right there, any quarterback you want, or trade that pick away to somebody who might want it. So somebody might want a Clowney, or maybe they're looking at Bridgewater, and move down a couple spots, get a guy like Johnny Manziel. I tell you, being in Houston and being in Texas, I think the pressure is enormous on them to take Johnny Manziel. And after what I saw this week, guys, I think I might take him too.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? After the game,
he's pretty amazing. You know, I didn't think that was another one of those games that I didn't think there was any way David Cutcliffe's Duke team was going to lose that game. And we're talking about the Duke-Texas A&M game. Almost a week ago, I was at a party, and I was so much fun being at the party. I sat in front of a 100-inch TV for like the whole night. It was terrible. We're talking to Clark Judge, NFL insider, New York City resident, and Clark, this weather this weekend, Super Bowl. You think the commissioner's a little nervous?
Do I think so? No, because I know him. Should he be? Yeah, I think he probably should be. We've had already four snowstorms here in New York. And we're just digging out of our latest one, and the Farmer's Almanac's calling for a blizzard on Super Bowl weekend. I think they're nervous enough that they've already talked about some of the plans they have in case they have to postpone it, like maybe play Saturday or play Monday or move it a week back. They've already told you about some of the ideas they've had, meaning that they're considering, if it snows, what are we going to do here? It'll be a disaster if it snows. But it's not just the snow. Take it a step further. Ice, to me, is the bigger danger. If you get ice, you've got the media staying here in New York. Mm-hmm. You've got the teams out in New Jersey. That is not an easy haul, guys. Yeah. I'm sure you know about it. And
you've
got to go up that ramp and down that ramp from the Lincoln Tunnel. That's going to be tough. And it's going to be tough just to navigate traffic. It could be a disaster. But he's gambling, saying, I'm betting that we're going to get the weather that Indianapolis had 2 years 2 years ago. Well, it's a gamble. And if you pull it off, you pulled off a coup. However, all of a sudden, we've got a history in the last month of really bad weather. Plus, you've got, as I said, a farmer's almanac saying, it's only going to get worse, guys. Good luck.
Yeah, you know, we got about a minute and a half, Clark. And I'm on the phone with Clark Judge. I love to talk to Clark about the NFL because there isn't anybody that knows any more than you do, Clark. And I appreciate you coming on the show. San Francisco, Green Bay. Yeah. I love San Francisco in this game. They're just so physical on defense. How do you feel about who's going
to
win this
game?
Yeah,
to me, this is a lock of the weekend, Bruce. I mean, people ask me, what's your surest bet? I said, San Francisco. And, oh, what about the weather? I don't care about the weather. Weather plays towards teams that can play defense and run the ball. Mm-hmm. San Francisco has a great defense and a much better defense than Green Bay's, which is playing without Clay Matthews again. Plus, they can run the ball effectively. Now, so can Green Bay. But San Francisco is a better running team, too. Plus, there's this. They've met them three times in the past year and a half. Under Jim Harbaugh, they're 3-0. So they've won all those games. And what's the constant in those games? Green Bay hasn't been able to figure out how to stop the 49ers' offense, whether it's Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick, especially when Colin Kaepernick, the last two games, they don't have an answer for him. So why should they have an answer today? No, I like the 49ers big.
Clark, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for coming on the show.
When I
get to New York again, we're going to dinner. You pick the spot. Is that cool?
You got it, Bruce.
All right, Clark. Clark Judge, ladies and gentlemen, NFL insider. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall with Roy Edwards. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back.
Yes, we are. Sorry, I thought you were taking it. Two segments.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to wish Roy, because I didn't get to see Roy last week, and I've been running around. I went to that football game, which really wasn't much of a game. I'm never going to Week 17, Game 16
Redskins
of two.
Giants.
It was one of three games in the entire NFL. It meant nothing. But we're waiting on Tony Major to call in because we can't call the show without finding out what's going on in Cleveland, for crying out loud. And by the way, an announcer. What is that? The champ is here. Who is that?
That's me. This is a song that was supposed to come in this break, so I thought that I would play it on my phone.
Just it's ever forward, friend. Ever forward. This
Let's
is
do
New
this.
Year.
Let's do this before Tony calls in. Let's
no, but
go,
Happy New Year,
let's
Bruce.
Go, yeah, Happy New Year to you,
Merry
too, buddy.
Merry Christmas.
And your lovely wife, and your great kid, and your dad, and
your
mom.
Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Revolution. Seen that commercial? Oh, so
you're just gonna eat snacks. So it's not really a revolt.
Yeah, it's not really a revolt. You're just gonna change what you eat for snacks. Yeah, well, I can live with that. Those are the best commercials on TV.
They are hilarious.
Everybody thinks my son Davis talks exactly like that guy. His baseball coach in college used to go, "You're like that guy on those kids commercials." Anyway,
do you have a resolution though?
I'm gonna continue to get in shape. I'm in shape. I'm gonna do cardio every day.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm like 215, and I want to be 200 even, because 200 even was my plan weight when I was 21, 22, 23.
There you go.
And if I'm and plus I have to have heart surgery sometime in the next couple of years, and I think I'm gonna have it while I'm healthy.
That's probably a good idea.
Because I don't want to be on the table when I'm not healthy, and they're looking
Phil.
At my heart. Boom, boom. Boom, boom,
give
boom,
yourself
boom.
Some recovery strength.
I got to have the same operation sooner or later that John Fox had, where he passed out on a golf course. Only I'm not going to wait till I pass out.
Hey, don't do that.
Surgery. Well, he passed out on the golf course because that's one of the symptoms that your aortic valve is not operating correctly.
Or drunk.
What
and
it
not
does is
well.
It sticks, and the blood flows either too much or not enough. And when you don't get enough oxygen to your brain, you pass out.
Usually.
Yeah, that happens.
That's usually how that
so
works.
Hopefully I'm going to get a nice little pig. I hope I get to pick the pig out. You know, I want to love the pig before
I
get its heart valve.
evidently,
a pig valve and a human valve are almost identical, and that's what they use. Or they use metal ones. But I'm going to get in shape. How about you? What's your New Year's revolution?
Mine's eerily similar to yours. I want to get more active.
Yeah, it's hard.
I went to WVU, okay? So everything you
My condolences.
Everything you do at West Virginia is outside.
Oh, yeah.
There's hiking and kayaking and shotgun shooting and, you know, fun things.
Keg parties.
And then, yeah, and you bring a keg.
Volleyball, basketball, keg parties.
So I, you know, keg parties. I played
Intramurals
all through college. I went hiking. I was in the shotgun club, you know, and I did all that stuff.
Shotgun club.
Yeah, the skeet club is what
I gotta join that club.
So, yeah, I have a 12-gauge Mossberg.
Government's coming to get your guns, haven't you read?
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Better not take mine.
No, not taking mine either.
I got a 12-gauge Mossberg with the
No, you don't. You don't have that. So,
anyway,
so yeah, mine is to be more active. I want to.
Is Tony on the line yet?
Not yet.
He's unbelievable.
But I want to get back into kayaking and hiking and stuff like that.
You know what? Well, you know, Harper's Ferry isn't far.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my son went to Shepherd, and that's what those guys did. Mm-hmm. They hiked and they kayaked and they did all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the games today.
Yes, let's.
You know what? Clark's my man. And I've been on San Diego plus seven. If you can get plus seven and a half, you're crazy if you don't.
Well, now watch. Tony's going to call in.
He's going to
say Green Bay's my play of the week, and we're all going to be screwed.
It won't matter. Well, we won't. Let's not laugh at him because obviously.
Well, the joke's on us.
Hey,
apparently,
you know what? I'm hitting like 53.8% this year, so I'm not exactly knocking it loose. But I did hit both totals. Now, yesterday with the totals. That the total in the first game, Tony Mazur.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tony.
Did we catch you at breakfast, big guy? Let's talk about the games tomorrow while we got you on the line. Today, the Bengals are playing at 105. It's supposed to be like 5 degrees and snowing and sleeting there. What do you think is going to happen in the Chargers-Bengals game?
Well, you know, I like Phillip Rivers, and I think that Cincinnati, I believe they haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
Yep.
I think it's going to continue.
Boomer Esiason was the quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Andy Dalton. I've never been sold on him. Even when he can't, I just got to go with San Diego. I know they're a warm weather team, but I just think that when you're looking at what. Was this a repeat from the Freezer Bowl back in 82?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times that they've played each other. The Freezer Bowl that Roy wasn't aware of, Cincinnati actually won that game 24-7. There was another game. They played each other almost twice in a row. One was the AFC Championship game.
Freezer Bowl, I was not even born yet.
Yeah, you weren't even
born. I was born in 86.
Hey, I agree with you, and I think, you know, nobody's going to be hungrier than number 17. That's Phillip Rivers, who went to NC State University, and, you know, I've been a big fan of his for a while. I felt so sorry for him when he played for Norv Turner. So you like San Diego getting the points, right?
Yeah, I'm going San Diego today.
Yeah, so are we.
I like that, too.
We are, too. How about the other game? Let's look at San Francisco, playing Green Bay. Green Bay barely got there. Green Bay is at home in. They say that by the time this game starts, the wind chill is going to be minus 20. Is that cold?
Yeah, it's a little chilly out there.
It's been that cold in Cleveland before. I know it has.
Well, I know on Tuesday it's going to be -2 for a high here in Cleveland.
And that's not even the wind chill, right?
That's just weather.
No, that's no exaggeration either. We're going to have a negative for a high. It's going to be -9 tomorrow night. So I can't even imagine what it'd be like to go up to. And this is where first of all, you talk about when they said the unsold tickets. I'm like, can you blame people for not wanting to be in that weather? Yeah.
Well, you know, nobody knew Green Bay was even going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I know what that's like because when you get that daggone bill, you know, and they ask you to pay all that freaking money, you know, which is not just one game. It's like two games because even Green Bay, I think, could host a game if they – no, they probably couldn't. Being 8-7-1, I don't think there's anybody worse than them in the tournament. But listen, you know, in Green Bay – it's not really that big of an advantage, in my opinion, because they got a San Francisco team coming in, Tony, that is, it's kind of like your Cleveland Browns team wants to be like one day. They're very physical on defense. They have great linebackers. They cover the pass. They rush the quarterback. And on offense, they run the football. And they got a quarterback that runs a 4-3. I mean, how are they going to lose to a guy that was denying he was gay this week? I'm just kidding. Well, you know I love Aaron Rodgers, right? I love him. I don't care if he is gay. If he's gay, I'm going to be drafting gay quarterbacks for a long time. Go ahead.
Sure.
What do you think?
I have a feeling that you're going to see Kaepernick is going to have a little problem with his footing out there on that the frozen tundra Lambeau Field.
Oh yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is used to this now. It's old hat for him. He knows, and the team. I mean, yeah, granted, it's cold, but it's cold there every year in San Francisco. Green Bay, San Francisco. Yeah, of course they have the wind blowing in from the bay, but I just feel that Green Bay is going to have a little bit of an advantage. I think it's going to come down to a field goal today.
So, are you picking Green Bay?
I'm going Green Bay.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Tony, we were talking before you came on. We were like,
You're probably right.
We had Clark Judge on, and he picked San Francisco. Yeah. We all love San Francisco.
I like Tony.
Did the same thing to us last week where you just shot down our dreams.
Yeah, but Tony's been winning.
I know. That's why I feel now.
I'm going to leave that game alone.
I can't take San Francisco. There's no way I can take San Francisco. Even though I love San Francisco here, but Tony said he can't.
Hey, Green Bay's getting the points too. They're getting 2.5, 3.5 points.
Yeah.
How can you leave that alone at home in the snow and ice with all your fans?
So Tony, I have to say I have been listening to a lot of Cleveland radio this week, and I'm not even kidding. I really have. And there are three names that are big circulating names around the Cleveland Brown coaching job, and I want to run them by you.
Haven't you been following Tony? I just followed Tony.
And I want you to tell me who you would want and why. Okay, the first name is the obvious Josh McDaniels out of New England, who they were granted permission to interview him. I believe it was yesterday.
Is his father going to stand on the sidelines with him and make sure nobody beats him up?
The second name is Jim Tressel that has been circulating.
Oh, my God! He's not involved.
Especially
Tony.
With
Please
the little girl video that I'm sure that you saw with the daughters, and they were talking about
he's
all
running
that.
For Congress.
And the third name is Bob Stoops out of Oklahoma.
That makes more sense.
Where he kind of even came out and said that he would want the job. Well, he didn't. Let's just say he didn't deny that he didn't want the job. So, where are your power rankings of those three? And do you want any of those guys?
Personally, I don't want any of them. I'm actually kind of intrigued by Gus Malzahn from Auburn. Mm-hmm. I kind of like him. I would prefer to have a college coach, It's kind of like when you look at a president. I want to have a governor than just a guy who is a senator. I want a guy who's actually been there before and knows how to deal with his constituents and everything. So I feel that a head coach, even if it's a college coach, would be better than just an unproven first-year coordinator.
Right.
Now, Bob Stoops, I think he'd be at the top of that list, followed by Tressel, followed by Josh McDaniels. I'm not a Josh McDaniels guy. That whole Belichick coaching tree just bears rotting fruit. Have you ever seen, Al Groh, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini,
Cheaters.
Nick Saban had a failed stint in the pros, Jim Schwartz. These are all from Bill Belichick coaching tree. And yet, how do they still continue to get jobs? And these organizations out there go, well, if it works in New England, it should work here.
It's extortion.
And every time it's failed.
It's extortion because they say, hey, you know, I don't get a job. I'm going to tell you what we did in New England when we cheated for like 5 years to win three Super Bowls.
Yeah, remember when Scott Pioli went to Kansas City and they're like, oh, we're going to make New England, Foxborough West here.
Yeah.
And that failed.
Yeah.
And
Pioli fired everybody. He fired everybody in the offices there. Everybody in Kansas City tells that story. I mean, let me tell you, one day somebody's going to write a hell of a book. And this is like the Kennedy assassination because nobody wants to tell the truth about what happened. And all of those guys you just mentioned are, hey, listen, how about the coordinator from Carolina? You know, the 39-year-old. I love McDermott. What is he going to take? He wouldn't take the Cleveland job, would he?
I don't think he's even been in the discussion.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name.
The coordinators I've heard been in the discussion were Gase from the offensive coordinator from Denver, Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator from Seattle. Mm-hmm. It's only been just a couple of names. And what it's looking like right now, guys, is Josh McDaniels and Jim Schwartz all have the same agent, which is Jimmy Sexton.
Right.
And this has happened before, and I don't know how often it happens around the league, but guys having the same agents and represented by the same guy and having similar job. So it's looking, what it's looking like right now is that Jim Schwartz may be the defensive coordinator of the Browns. And by the way, they're going to hire the defensive coordinator before they hire a head coach.
Yeah, I heard
we
that.
See how that's worked out before. And then it's probably going to look like Josh McDaniels could be the head coach of the Browns.
What? Well, who's the D.C. in Cleveland? He's done a pretty good job.
Ray Horton.
Yeah, he's a good
Ray
coach.
Ray Horton.
So he's just going to get stiffed?
Yep.
Well, if he gets stiffed, he'll have a job 4 hours later because he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league.
He probably has one lined up right now.
Tony, we're done. Tony,
thanks, Tony.
Thanks for coming on Yahoo Sports, right, Tony? We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Tony.
Yep.
You just saved me. We'll be back next week, Roy, on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Have a good revolution.
You too.